Welcome to the Idea Talks, where we discuss big ideas. My name is Stephen Miller, and I am the host of the Idea Talks. Idea Talks is a monthly conversation with Josh Tice and other church leaders on big ideas for life and ministry. Our desire is for you to gain insight on the big ideas discussed each month. Today we have Pastor Josh Tice with us, and he'll be talking about the influence of books in ministry and leadership. It's great to have you with us today.
Hey man, this is episode number 2. They said it wouldn't be done. They said we could not make it all the way to episode 2. And here we are.
We are here.
We proved them wrong, didn't we?
Absolutely. Well, you know, I'll tell you, the first episode was great. We got hundreds of people view that and listen to that online. Yeah. So really, this is just an opportunity for us to share big ideas. And so I'm very excited about the big idea this month and about influence of books in life and ministry. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, there are many things that influence a life, a Christian life or a ministry as a whole. Primarily, in my life, my relationship with God, most important. Then you have your mentors and your close friends. They influence your life and ministry. I've noticed that the people in the church influence your life and ministry above all. These are the things. But then after those, I would say that books are the great influencers. Readers into those books and finding out exactly what these books have done to influence my life. So I brought a few that I thought might be helpful for our audience to understand what's influenced my personal walk with God and our ministry here.
Great. We're excited about that. I think you have 10, right?
Top 10 books that have influenced my life.
Well, before we get to those 10, we have to do our 5 questions. Now, if you're new to the episode here, every single time we have a monthly episode, we ask our guest 5 questions. So I'm going to go ahead and ask Pastor Tice 5 questions right now regarding his life and just personal things that he enjoys. So, one-word answers.
Okay,
one-word answers.
Got it.
All right, you ready? Number 1,
yes.
Best restaurant in Las Vegas.
Maggiano's.
Maggiano's. Ooh, I like
Beyond this shadow of a doubt, really right good. There in the Fashion Show Mall.
Absolutely. Question number 2, dream vacation spot is?
The British Isles.
The British Isles, that's good. I was expecting like Disneyland or something, but it's all right.
British Isles, sorry, I gotta go a little higher.
Okay, favorite story in the Bible. What's your favorite story in the Bible?
David and Goliath, gotta be the classic.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you like that one?
I really do.
Is there a reason why you like that one particularly?
I'm gonna have friends that love this.
Okay.
Here's why, because when you look at David defeating his giant, you can teach people they can defeat their giants too.
That's
the primary number one lesson from that passage.
Yeah,
absolutely. No, I really do love that.
That's
story.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Yeah. All right. And here we go. Watching a movie or reading a book?
I got to be honest. Watching a movie.
Okay. All right. I would agree with that.
I really do.
Okay. Love the movies. Books. I mean, obviously, you read.
Yeah.
Ten.
Yeah. We have
at least 10.
I've read a couple. Yeah.
All right. Last one. One thing about you that few people would know.
I'm a shoe enthusiast. I collect shoes. I do. I love good stylish shoes, and I have many pair, and yes.
Do you have like a favorite pair right now that you're fond of?
Yeah, actually, I really do have a favorite pair. I just got a brand new pair of floor shims.
Okay.
Did
you wear those Sunday?
No, what did I wear on Sunday? I forget.
They were nice.
Oh, no, I got those. Yeah, I know exactly where I got those. I got those in the mall, and they were nice. I got them for Christmas, actually. I bought them for myself.
Shoe enthusiast.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, let's get back to the topic here. The big idea that we want to discuss is
books.
The influence of books in ministry and in leadership.
Sure.
And I think that's something that we all kind of know. I think as leaders, as ministers, we all kind of know that, hey, books can help.
Yes.
But sometimes it seems like, you know, we don't know how much they do have an influence on us. And I think when I look at Southern Hills, you know, the time I've been here, we've read some books together and you've read some books. And I think the concepts and principles in those books have been extremely helpful, very influential as we've discussed those things. So you brought a few with you today. And so we're going to do kind of a top 10 countdown of different books here on different subjects regarding life and ministry and leadership. So why don't you tell us the first one that you have.
Okay, so the first book, these are in no particular order. I wish I could say top 10 and number one most, but these are just 10 of the most influential books. I would say the first one comes from the Counterpoint series.
Okay.
The Counterpoint series is, for those who aren't familiar, it's a theological series that gives different perspectives on specific issues.
Okay.
The tagline is, the Counterpoint series provides a forum for comparison and critique of different views on issues important to Christians, both church life and biblical theology. So for example, this one, it represents a whole series of books, but this one is Understanding the Four Views of Baptism. I know what I believe on baptism. I was trained. I know what the Bible says on it, but there are four Christian views on it. And what was fascinating to me is to read those different views written from the perspective of those who have them. So oftentimes when it comes to, let's say, baptism, we often read the perspective of others from somebody who wrote it from our own perspective, which is obviously biased.
Yes, that's interesting.
Yeah, and so what this series does is it allows people to write about their theological view, and then you're able to read it, and then the other authors in the same book comment on that person's writing.
Okay.
So it's fascinating. For example, this one. This book has the Baptist view of baptism. Baptism is a symbol of Christ's saving work. That would be my view. And then you have three different other people with views, and they comment on it in a very, very good conversation. The next one would be the Reformed view of baptism. Baptism as a sacrament of the covenant, which would not be my view. Lutheran view, God's baptismal act as regeneration or baptismal regeneration. And then you have the final view, the Christian church's view, which would be something like Central Christian would have or any Disciples of Christ church would have. The larger Christian churches, their view is that believers' baptism as biblical occasion of salvation, which is different than baptismal regeneration. So you say, what's the point? The point is, you can actually find out what do all the other Christians or all the other so-called Christians within our community believe about baptism. And let's hear their perspective, and then let's talk about it. So this has been great. I love this series.
Yeah, it sounds like a very interesting book. Now, my question would be, though, if you know what you believe about, for example, this subject of baptism, why do you feel it's important to know what the other views are?
Number one, it strengthens my view. It helps me to go back to Scripture and say, okay, does the Bible, because they have a good argument. So this is a really good argument. So, are they right? So then I have to go back to Scripture and say, you know what? No, it strengthens my view on that. Also, it helps me interact with other Christians as they come in from these other perspectives so that I can say, look, you were taught under the Lutheran perspective. Let's see if that is biblical. And I am actually knowledgeable, not just about what people say the Lutherans believe. I'm actually knowledgeable because I've read the Lutheran perspective from a Lutheran theologian. And now I can actually counter that argument. That's the whole point of the Counterpoint series, based upon what other Baptists have said about the Lutheran perspective. It's a great, it's the way to study. And it's really, really helpful. There are a lot of good books in this. For example, one of them is Who Runs the Church? So a lot of discussion, is it pastoral led? Is it elder run? And reading it, not from one person's perspective, but from multiple persons' perspective, and then them discussing it among themselves in a very civil way, which needs to be done. So things like, are the miraculous gifts for today? Four views of the book of Revelation, three views of the rapture. You say, oh, I already know what I believe. Yeah, but do you know what the others believe from their perspective? It's a great study if you really want to pastor people from multiple backgrounds.
So you would say that reading a book like this, gaining those different perspectives, has influenced you and helped you even in counseling sessions or in times when someone approaches you with a question?
Oh, beyond a shadow of a doubt. These kind of books, this Counterpoint series, has allowed me to address issues that I would have otherwise not been able to and be able to say, well, let me tell you exactly what those folks from that perspective believe.
Great.
And I'm able to say it authoritatively because I can quote them. Yeah, it's a great series.
That sounds like a great book. Will you tell our audience one more time, what is it? Who wrote it?
Yeah, this one is called Understanding the Four Views of Baptism. And it's called the Counterpoints series.
We'll put links to all these books in the show notes.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Fantastic.
Okay, so that's number one. That right there, that's pretty good right there. All right, so what do you have? Number two.
Okay, next one that I have on my stack is this one's a personal book that helped me personally, spiritually. It's called Experiencing God by Blackaby. The first time I saw this in a bookstore, I remember it for many years. I saw it and I looked at it and I thought, first thing I thought was, charismatic. Because it said experiencing. I don't want to experience God, right? I can't experience God. But my word, I got this book, and it just, I mean, it was life-changing. Honestly, one of the most personally challenging, helpful books in my personal walk with God. beyond a shadow of a doubt. In fact, they even bought the workbook, which I hate workbooks. And I've been going through the workbook. But this was probably about 4 or 5 years ago. Fantastic book about personal walk with God.
Personal walk with God, so important. Obviously, that right there has great influence on your personal life.
Yes.
To walk with God, relationship with God. Are there some key elements of the book that you would say stood out to you as you read through it?
Yeah, one of the great key elements of the book is he talks about identifying what God is doing around you and get in on what God is doing. Mm. I think that is such a huge concept. It allows us to, instead of maybe at times manipulate God into blessing what we're doing, it allows us to sit back and say, okay, what is God doing? What is God doing in my personal life? What is God doing in this city? What is God doing in this country? What is God doing in this world? And then apply it to the scripture and see what the scripture is saying and walk with the Holy Spirit. One of the things that this book has helped me tremendously is understanding the value of the Holy Spirit in our life. Now you say, oh yeah, it is charismatic, right? Because, no, the Holy Spirit is not owned by the charismatic. The Holy Spirit is a biblical doctrine, and understanding the value that not only does the scripture speak to us, but where the scripture is at times purposefully vague, the Holy Spirit of God brings specificity. Our church has heard that statement a thousand times.
Many times.
And where does that statement come from? It wasn't expressly stated in this book, but that's one of the great truths that I got from this book. Very, very helpful book.
Well, that's a great book. Now, what's another book you have for us here? Number three.
Okay, let's go with, Purpose Driven Church.
Okay.
This book, first time I was, made aware of it was in college, and I remember a couple people reading it, and I wasn't too impressed at the time, but I never had read it. Then the first probably year of our church plant, I got the book, and I said, I got to read this, and I've got to tell you, the seminal book of our time. I don't honestly agree with every aspect. I'm not trying to cover my bases here, I'm just being honest. But with that being said, this book is a must read, no matter where you fall on the spectrum. Every ministry leader must read this book. Why? Because it influenced everything in the last 30 years in evangelical American Christianity. If you don't know the contents of the book, if you simply understand what it says because you heard other people talk about it, you don't understand this book. You have to read the original. Why? Because of how much it's influenced. Maybe you hate the concepts in it. Maybe you love the concepts in it. But you got to know the concepts by reading it. And so personally, this, and by the way, you'd be shocked at how many churches that you love and respect, how much of their church has been influenced by this book. So I found out, boy, this book has been personally helpful, wonderful, and really, really an important book in our life and ministry here.
I'm just curious, before we go to the next one, with that particular book, when did you read that in your ministry where you were, was it a few years ago when you were just starting out?
Yes.
Just to kind of get a, idea of kind of how it influenced you and how long it's been influencing you.
So we started the church in 2004, and about 6 months in, I realized I had no idea what I'm doing. None. I thought, man, I need some help and wisdom, and my dad's always there for me, and the Lord is always there for me. But I thought, what could help me? And I don't even remember who it was that gave me the book, but somebody said, you got to read Purpose Driven Church, you just have to read it. So I don't know. I already know what it's all about. It's all about being seeker sensitive, whatever. But then I picked it up, and I began to read it. And probably 2005, about 6 months into our church, and I got to tell you, it absolutely captured my attention, and influenced tremendously. And I know it's got a lot of lovers, this book, and it's got a lot of haters, this book. But whether or not you love it or you hate it, you have to read it.
Yes.
You have to read it. It is the generational book of our time that has to be read to understand American evangelicalism today.
Yeah, I think it goes back to the point we talked about different perspectives.
You
may have heard some things about it that you think, well, that's not for me. But sometimes just reading it, like you said, I don't agree with every single point, every single sentence or line. But obviously, it allows you to be able to think.
Yes.
And to think about, what am I doing? How am I ministering? Yeah. Where is this church going? And obviously it's been a big influence in your life and our
great
ministry.
Book. Great book. Okay.
Lots of great books.
Yeah, let's move on to Schaefer. Okay. Right. So here's a classic writer for Christians. You've got to be reading Francis Schaefer. This is How Shall We Then Live? It really is representative of all of Schaefer's works. Schaefer was the seminal writer, and I said this before, of early and middle 20th century Christianity, English at least, Christianity. True spirituality. My dad told me about 2 years ago, read True Spirituality. You want to understand what true holiness is. Holiness. I mean, we serve a holy God. We have to be spiritually minded, not carnally minded. So what does that mean? And so to read it from some guy with a goatee and knickers was an odd thing for me. But I got to tell you, anybody who knows Francis Schaeffer, anybody who read him, anybody who reads him, understands the great, powerful truth. So I would recommend Francis Schaeffer to all our audience.
Yeah, I think anybody with a goatee has a lot of great things to say.
Nice goatee.
Thank you. Appreciate
yeah,
that.
Very good.
Yeah, great book. Now, who would you say that book would be for, specifically for anybody?
Good question. Well, pastors need to know Schaeffer. He's like C.S. Lewis. You have to know him. If you're an English-speaking pastor, you need to be familiar with C.S. Lewis, Francis Schaeffer, Charles Spurgeon. You must know these guys. Even back to Richard Baxter, the Puritans. You have to be familiar, especially if you're a lead pastor, if you're the one teaching. But Francis Schaeffer is not too deep for the layman. So I know we have church members that listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
And if you're a church member at Southern Hills, this is one of the books that you need to get. Purpose-driven church, not as important. A book like The Four Views of Baptism, probably not something in your wheelhouse. But Experiencing God by Blackaby, How Shall We Then Live by Francis Schaeffer, True Spirituality by Francis Schaeffer, great resources for any Christian across the spectrum.
Great. It sounds like it's a good book, and we'll have a link to that also in the show notes. Moving on, several books left. Where are we at? Is that four?
Yeah.
All right, we made it halfway through. So let's pick another one here that I think would be a good influence.
Okay, let's move on to Simple Church.
Oh, yeah.
Simple Church, I listened to it first on audio.
Okay.
And I can remember where I was. I was in Florida, and I was working through my master's degree. And I got a hold of this book, and so many of the truths that Raina brings out, I saw in our church that were negative. And I'm not a negative person. I like to focus on positive, so sometimes I just turn off the negative. But I kept listening, and I realized our church was becoming, only 3, 4, 5 years old, it was becoming increasingly complex. And it was wearing me out. And this book, it put a stop to that. And I came home, I said, no, we got to get things back to simplicity. So this book, our church knows. I gave a copy to everyone in our deacons, our staff. We went through it together. And I think we got this book before. Was it before you came?
Yeah, it was before I came. But I have read it, actually, I think 2 times.
Yeah.
It's a very influential book.
Fantastic. Well, let me ask you, what did you like most about this book?
You know, I'll tell you. Well, I'll just say real quick. I just thought what you said about complexity in ministry.
Yeah.
Sometimes ministry, we make it more complex than it needs to be.
Yeah.
And really, this book kind of brings your heart and focus back to what is it that we want to accomplish?
Mm.
And how do we get there further, faster? How do we get from point A to point B as quick as possible? And so for me personally, even in the ministries I lead here at Southern Hills, we try to abide by some of the principles, very influential. I would probably say this book and another book has been the most influential book in my own personal leadership and ministry.
Well, we're talking about books. So. Tell me what the other book was.
Okay.
I'll bet I can guess.
Yeah, well, maybe you could. But the other book, which is very similar to this book, is called The 7 Practices of Effective Ministry by Andy Stanley.
Yes.
And love that book. That was written actually before Simple Church, and it was kind of Simple Church concepts, and then they came out with Simple Church. So
Rainer stole it from Stanley. I'm calling you out.
Great book. I would recommend that. And I think you would agree with this to any pastor, any ministry leader, in any place of ministry.
I agree. Also, internationally.
Yeah.
Simple Church is something, the concept of Simple Church is not just American evangelicalism. It goes deeper than that. It is understanding the simplicity of what church was intended to be.
Exactly.
Very
yes.
good.
Yeah, and if you're an assistant pastor, buy your pastor a copy of this and slip it under the door, you know, and maybe he'll pick it up and read it.
There might be some of our audience who might be thinking, well, Pastor Josh, I'm listening to what you're saying, Josh, and it seems like you just love everything in it. Well, I'm not giving you my worst book.
Sure.
Okay, I'll give it our favorite.
Sure.
And plus, I tend to be more positive in these.
These are good. These have been
really good
influential.
Books.
I mean, they're great. All right, so moving on. That was a good one. Next.
Okay. So, I don't have a lot of theology books here, but this book... On Heaven by Randy Alcorn is one of the most wonderful theology books I've ever read. And let me tell you why. because it is theology that changes your perspective. I had been told for years to read it. I just read it this last year, preached a sermon series on heaven, and it personally impacted my life and ministry in that my focus now is probably more spiritually minded than it's been in years, focused upon eternity. And so, boy, I got to tell you, I've loved this book.
Yeah. And we're talking about the influence of books in life and ministry. You just said this book influenced you so much that you literally did a four-week sermon series on it called City of Light.
Yes.
And all about heaven, and a lot of the concepts and a lot of the direction came from this book, is what you're saying.
Yeah. A book like this, what it does, some might say, well, I preach from the Bible. a book like what this does is it categorizes, this is what theology books have done for hundreds of years. It categorizes the scriptures into such a systematic way so that all of the scriptures that speak of heaven, especially with one that is as extensive as this, all into one resource, so that somebody has done a lot of the heavy lifting when it comes to systematic theology for us, so that you can go right here and say, okay, what does the Bible say in complete form about heaven?
Yes.
And not only did it help me personally, but like you said, it influenced our church to the point where I preached an entire series on what does the Bible say about heaven, and it helped.
And I think even books can be a huge influence in sermon preparation, where, you know, of course we preach the Bible here at Southern Hills. I mean, that's what we believe. We preach the Word of God. But I think it would be wise to bring in other books when you're thinking about different subjects and you see verses. And you're like, I wonder what that means. Well, guys have written some things on that will help you understand those things. Okay, so we're six down. I think we have four to go.
Peeking
over our pile here.
Yep.
A couple of good ones coming up. So what's the next one you have for us?
So here we have The Road Ahead.
Good book.
The Road Ahead by Paul Chappell. Full disclosure here, he's a personal friend. And so he's, oh, you're just promoting a book of a personal friend. I'm putting it in the top 10 because it honestly is one of the most influential books in my life, regardless of our friendship. This is a great book. And now I've read probably almost everything Striving Together has put out. This by far has been most helpful and by far the most influential in my life. It is more specific toward the movement I find myself in, the Independent Baptist movement. And it is more focused probably toward pastors, I would say. But fantastic book. And so if there's a pastor in our audience that has not read this book and is in the Independent Baptist movement or is interested in the Independent Baptist movement, they should pick up this book to understand kind of the road ahead. The title speaks for itself.
Yeah, I actually read the book myself, and I found that the book was very refreshing in the balanced approach towards a lot of different topics that we deal with as Independent Baptists.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed it. But I'm glad you enjoyed it as well. Would there be a thing in the book that you would say, as you read it, that was a big influence in your leadership, in your ministry, and just in your thought process?
Yeah, there was an overall positive spirit that I really enjoyed.
Yes.
Just a positivity about not only our past, and we talked about this with Dad. Every movement or denomination has negative things. What this book did is it focused on some positive things of our past, the positive things that we are, and the forward direction that we're going. So overall, it was very, very, how did it influence? It was very encouraging.
Yes.
I put it down, and I was just so encouraged by it. And so absolutely a must read for any young Independent Baptist leader.
All right. Next book.
Okay. Spurgeon. I referenced him a moment ago.
Oh, yeah.
Lectures to My Students is something that every young seminary student, Baptist across the board, is given. And we look at it, and we say, yeah, no, I'm not going to read that. Okay, so then after years and years, and I was too, in my college, I was given this book, you got to read this. Oh, yeah, I'll read it. And now we finally get around to it. And what a wealth of beauty it is. He speaks at such a high, eloquent level, but not to the point that it's not personally applicable. After 150 years of sitting on the shelf, this man understands preaching and understands ministry. So, if you haven't read Lectures to My Students, I would say mostly for those who are preaching weekly, whether that be youth ministry, student ministry, children's ministry, pastoral lead ministry, this is fantastic. And it speaks primarily to preaching and preachers. Not everything is relevant for today. For example, he's got an entire chapter on 19th century understanding of astronomy.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, I can skip that chapter. But so much of it, Steve, it's a great book. And it should not just be on our shelves, it should be read.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely would recommend.
Yeah, I think it's a great influence. Sometimes, even as a young minister, we kind of look for what's the newest book out there, or what's the latest, you know, thoughts. But really, sometimes there's so much value in what was written several hundred years ago, 100 years ago,
yes,
where we can find some influence and find some wealth of knowledge in those books. So,
yeah.
How would you say this particular book, I'm just curious, has influenced you personally? Because is this a book you're reading currently right now, or
I've read
one
before
that you read recently?
I've read it before, and actually I just finished or am just finishing.
Okay.
I'm literally in the last chapter.
Okay.
As of this morning.
Okay.
And rereading it. How has it influenced me personally? In the area of preaching,
yeah.
There are a lot of very practical tips. You say, well, what can a 19th century preacher give me on practical tips of ministry? My goodness, you've got to read Spurgeon. There's a reason why they call him the Prince of Preachers. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just because of his giftedness. It was because he worked at it.
Yeah.
He worked at developing his communication style. Mm-hmm. I love what you said about the fact that there's a wealth of history that we can go back to. Rainer, fantastic.
Yep.
Wonderful 20th century, 21st century. So we have some great guys in the 19th century today.
Yeah,
we have some great guys in the 17th century. Go back and read Richard Baxter. I wasn't supposed to bring him up, but because, you know, more books. But Richard Baxter is amazing, a Puritan preacher. But we should be men of literature, men of reading, and Spurgeon is a must.
Yeah, fantastic. Was a must read.
Yeah.
All right, I think we have two more books left.
Okay.
And then
Let's get to Center Church. Center Church by Timothy Keller. A must for any 21st century pastor. Center Church is about contextualization of ministry. And I love it because of the balance he brings. He talks about the importance, and so many people do, talk about the importance of being culturally relevant. Okay, and that's good. And it's important. There's so many of our churches that are not relevant culturally. They're stuck in a certain decade. Okay. But there's also a balance of cultural relevance balanced with being countercultural.
Mm.
The church that is neither culturally relevant and only countercultural is not going to affect the culture.
And it's a great point you bring up about, you know, it's a deep read. Sometimes, would you say that the books that you read, you don't necessarily make a decision right then and there to make a change or do something. Sometimes you have to process a little bit of some of the information, right? Is that something you...
That's great. Yeah, that's a great point. I read this book at the beginning of last year, at the beginning of 15. Then I processed it for a couple months. And then I brought it to our staff in the summertime. I said, okay, we're going to start reading this book chapter by chapter together and have kind of a little bit of a book club.
Yeah.
We're still in that process right now. And then that's going to go on for another 6 months. And then once we have processed it, there will be implications within our ministry. So yeah, there's not nothing that's happened in this book if we said let's change this tomorrow.
Yeah.
It is especially a book like this, it is a long process of influence. Is this biblical? Is it rational? Is it logical? Is it something that can be applicable for us?
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. All right, last but not least,
okay.
Last book of the episode.
Okay, so this is the top tier book for leadership, John Maxwell. I lost the cover. I've read it too much. But John Maxwell's 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. This is the best. Maxwell constantly is putting out every year a new book on leadership. He basically, I'm sure he listens to this podcast, so it's going to bother him.
Hey,
he basically regurgitates a lot of the same principles from this book.
Yeah.
So you want to know Maxwell, get this one.
Yeah.
Great book on leadership.
21 Laws of Leadership. Obviously, that's been influential to you and your leadership and ministry, I'm sure.
If you want one book on leadership, that's the one to get.
Okay. Yeah, well, you know, I'd appreciate you sharing these 10 books. Before we...
Now, wait a second.
Okay.
I have a surprise.
Oh, surprise.
And you did not know this.
I didn't know this. Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, Steve has no clue that I'm going to throw in a bonus book.
Wow.
Yeah.
Could it get any better than this?
No, a bonus book.
I mean,
I wanted to throw you off to see, you know, how you responded under
sure,
this kind of pressure.
Absolutely. I'm fine. I'm good. I'm ready to go.
Bonus book.
Yeah.
Probably the most influential book in my personal life and ministry over the last 10 years, of course, other than the Bible.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to say that. Has been The Grace Awakening by Charles Swindoll.
Mm.
So impacting that I had to buy copies for people in our church, deacons, staff members. I sent copies to my three sisters. I sent copies to friends. The Grace Awakening by Charles Swindoll, that was not written this century, truly, deeply impacted my life in a very, very deep spiritual way, and drew me back to the purpose of ministry, my walk with God, and understanding what grace is. I would recommend, if I were to say to those that were listening, of all the books, get that one.
Yeah.
Get that book if you haven't read it.
The Grace Awakening.
Get it. The Grace Awakening by Charles Swindoll. You say, why don't you have a copy with you right now? Because I've given them all away.
Yeah.
I literally have given them all away. You've got to get The Grace Awakening by Charles Swindoll.
I appreciate that, that bonus there.
There
it
is.
Kind of nervous about what that 11th one was going to be, but that sounds like a good one. You know, a couple of things before we end today's episode is this, is that obviously, you know, reading is so important. Obviously, through this episode, we found in your own ministry and leadership how much reading books, other perspectives have influenced your life. But you know, you have to find time to read, and you have to find time to process. Would you take us through, before we end this episode, just kind of how you find the time to read? What are some different ways that you found have been helpful for you to be able to digest all this information?
Absolutely. Okay, so a few things. One of the first things that come to mind is audible.com. So I have an app called Audible. I listen to a lot of books. I like to physically read, but my eyes jump. And my mother has told me for years that since she used to homeschool me that I was dyslexic and I put words backwards. I don't know if any of that's true, but I do know that for me to get through a book more quickly, I listen to a lot of my books on audio. And I can process. I'm an auditory learner, so I can process a lot more that way. So a lot of these books, though I've read physically, I've read many of them on Audible. I've listened to many of them. So that really has helped me kick it up a notch when it comes to how many books I can get through in a year and how much information I could process. So that'd be one thing.
Yeah.
And so now as I'm driving, as I'm going from appointment to appointment, I'm able, on the way to work today, I was able to listen to almost nearly an entire chapter of lectures to my students. And that's a way for me to process more information.
Yeah, absolutely. Audible.com is a great resource, and
yep.
we'll have a link to that also in the show notes for folks to check that out if you don't know what that is. So you would say schedule some time,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you can.
For me, it's Thursdays.
Schedule, mm-hmm. And then also find a method that would work for you the best.
Yeah.
Whether it be audio or reading a book or even like a Kindle or something like this,
mm-hmm.
Find the method. And now let me ask you this. A lot of the books that you brought up obviously have to do with pastoring and leadership. Sometimes when we read books, we are tempted to just do what the book says right away.
Yeah.
What would you say to maybe a young leader or young pastor or maybe someone that would pick up a book and be so incredibly influenced by it that they're ready to, man, make that decision right now? What advice would you give them as they read through some of these different books?
Boy, for those who are listening, none of these questions were discussed early, and they say, why did you say that? Why would you tell us that? Because I want you to know that this is fresh. It's coming right from my mind, right from my heart at this point. Okay, so what would I say to that? I would say this. There are times where when you receive an idea from a book, the best thing to do is get alone with God and pray, get discussion from your wife, and really from your team, if you have a team. But I am more of an action taker than a waiter, myself. You say, well, we went through Center Church and there's not a lot of things. You know, that's true, but I do have a bias, personally, I have a bias toward doing something.
Yeah.
So if there's a change, you read from a book and you're like, man, I want to implement that, I would be the kind of guy to say, let's go for it.
Yeah.
Now, what are the ramifications of that? That needs to be prayed through and thought through. But I don't think our problem quite often is that we make decisions too quickly. I know this might go against common knowledge, right? Or what most people say. I think some of our problems within leadership is that we wait too long to do what God is clearly telling us to do. So pray about it. You walk with God. Read the Bible. See if it connects with what the Word of God says. And if you're convinced it's of God, make the decision.
Yeah,
go for it.
I think that's really good. And like you said, we didn't discuss this question, but I think it's really good. And I think it's good because sometimes we have what we all know is the paralysis of analysis,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And we read something, and sometimes you're talking with somebody, and they tell you an issue in ministry, they tell you an issue in their leadership, and you say, oh, have you read this book? And they're like, oh, yeah, I read it.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, there's your answer right there. Yeah, why aren't you doing something?
Yeah,
that's what you need to do.
Yeah.
So sometimes we're a little fearful. And I think it's good. I think it's good for us because why are we reading in the first place? We're not reading it just to read it.
Sure.
We're reading it to influence and to take action. So I think that's good. I'm glad you shared that. And there have been times. But I think also what you're saying is don't go off, you know, without any, you know, accountability. Talk to someone like your wife, if you know, it's just you and maybe a smaller church, it's just you and your wife there, talk to her, talk to some key people on your staff or in your church that can help you kind of ease that idea.
Yeah, just because you've made the decision that you're going to follow what God told you to do, it doesn't mean that that decision has to be implemented next Sunday.
Yeah, that's good.
There might be a time of figuring out, okay, then how do we implement this within the next 6 months? Well, first I get my team on board, then I get my deacons on board, and then I get my leadership on board, and then we get the church on board. And so there is a process, but the decision, once you know it's what God is leading you to do, once the decision is, decide, I'm going to do what God wants me to do, then you begin to write out a process, how over the next 6 months, how over the next 2 years am I going to do this?
Yes. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to watch or listen to this episode today. We hope that what is discussed was an encouragement and a help to you, and you gained some insight on the power and influence that books can have in life and ministry. Before we go, I'm going to ask Pastor Tice, if you would share with us a couple of the topics, some of the ideas that will be discussed over the next couple of months here on the Idea Talks.
Yeah, we've got several great episodes that are coming up that we're already making preparations for. One episode is all about the gospel. We're going to be talking about what is gospel-centric ministry? What is the gospel all about? You say, I know the gospel, but we constantly are hearing other friends and other individuals talk about gospel-centric ministry. Well, what exactly do they mean by that? We'll be discussing that. We're going to have an entire episode dedicated to worship, and we're going to talk about worship music. We're going to be talking about the music issue within the Independent Baptist movement. That'll be a fascinating, I think, highly downloaded episode. I think that'll be really, really good as well. We've got one coming up about the power of prayer in the local church. What is the church supposed to do? Do we have prayer meetings like we ought? Do we have prayer meetings like the early church? And how do you actually incorporate that? We're going to be discussing that. And we're also going to be discussing, I'm looking forward to this one. What is the missing key to church growth? The missing key to church growth. So the episodes to come are very exciting.
But Pastor Tice, again, thank you so much for your time today. Absolutely. I think what was discussed was very insightful and helpful to our listeners and to me as well as the host. So thank you so much for joining us for this episode of the Idea Talks. We look forward to seeing you on another future episode each month as we discuss big ideas for life and ministry. God bless you.